The autumn wind is a pirate.
Welcome, Raider Nation, to the Raider Nation podcast. I'm your host, Raider Greg. Welcome to the show. And boy, oh boy, what a way to start a season, right? I have to laugh because I just can't cry. We're going to talk about that and more here on show 599. Right, Raider Nation, on today's show, we will have a short story on expectations, something that I'm sure we will all agree on. Maybe not, but I think probably so. A very short post-game and a shorter even pre-game to the Titans, and then the bone line, which is absolutely necessary therapy for every Raider fan. And that should wrap it up, because we will be here come hell or high water. And you know what I'm saying, this is another season of the Raider Nation podcast where we, Randy and I, keep it real, and you know that's true. All right, let's roll on to the show, shall we? Okay, let's just start off with expectations. Do they ever really work out? No. You know, even when they work out, you know, most of the time they're not as good as you expected it sometimes. But, you know, expectations get us all into trouble. And this season, boy, oh boy, were we full of expectations.
I know week two is not even in the books yet, but I've got right now my top five so far most disappointing teams of 2022. Number five on this list actually has a win. It's the Denver Broncos. Let me tell you something. Let's ride. The horse is bucking right now, and it's difficult for them to ride it. Nathaniel Hackett, first-time head coach. It's interesting his last name is Hackett, because there are some play calls that makes you wonder if he can, to be very honest. And I'm just wondering if the moment is a little bit too big for him, because we all know how the game ended in Seattle. They should have won that game 15 times over. They didn't. And the reason why they didn't at the very end is because for some reason he decided to try a 64-yard field goal instead of letting Russell Wilson try and get him closer or win it with multiple timeouts, with three timeouts left. It was a really weird decision. I don't mean to pile on here, but this is a very disappointing start. Yeah. But they're 1-1, just a game out in the AFC West, so that's why they're number five on this list. Number four on this disappointing list, the Carolina Panthers. Now, you cannot go 0-2 when Tom Brady's in your division. You just can't. Certainly when your coach is on the hot seat, you just can't. Certainly when Baker Mayfield is making enough plays, you just can't. It's disappointing, 0-2. I thought you could be at least 1-1, but 0-2 right now, you're disappointing me. Number three on this list is the Indianapolis Colts. 0-1-1, and you have lost on the road to the so-called bottom half of your division, shut out by one of them. First two games of this year, going into the fourth quarter, they've been down by a combined score of 44-3. This is not what you're supposed to do when you've got Matt Ryan and he's supposed to be the upgrade from Carson Wentz. And Wentz is the problem. Wentz was the problem. We got to get Wentz out of here. He was a problem in the locker room. He was a problem on the field. And he was a problem in Jacksonville last year. And he's the problem. He's out. Now Matt Ryan's in, and he's no longer a problem. Matt Ryan's supposed to be the guy who comes in now and wins games for the Colts. They're 0-1-1. That's the best part about it, is they're still in this division, and the division still can be won, and they've got an MVP candidate in Jonathan Taylor. But this is a highly disappointing start. You're not supposed to go to Houston, to Jacksonville to open your season, and you're 0-1-1. Number two on this list is the team that I thought that wouldn't have a Super Bowl hangover. It's Cincinnati Bengals. Joe Burrow loses at home to Mitchell Trubisky with five turnovers and then gets outplayed by Cooper Rush in Dallas. 0-2, you thought that they'd win that one at home against Pittsburgh, and certainly should go into Dallas after that stinging defeat in week one and take care of business against a backup quarterback in Cooper Rush. Come on. Very disappointing, but nothing is more disappointing. And this is personal, because I put my neck out for this team. I've been talking about this team.
You put everybody
out.
Part out.
I have pounded this table. I have zigged when everyone is zagging. I have really been adamant about my belief in this team, certainly because they had a big, huge year last year when a lot was going south for them in that locker room and in that franchise, and they had an interim coach, and they made the playoffs, and they won tough games late, and they went into Cincinnati and gave the eventual AFC champions all they could handle in a playoff game, and then they added Davante Adams, and then they added Chandler Jones, and they have Josh McDaniels now as their head coach, and they have laid an 0-2 egg. The autumn wind is pissing me off. I have said the Las Vegas Raiders are winning this division, and if I could have a mulligan right now because I didn't put myself out there so damn much, I would take it. I would take it and run back to the first tee and hit that golf ball, and I would definitely hit it right down the middle with the Chiefs, because I'm always good when I'm hitting a mulligan. I don't know what the hell that was yesterday. They're up 20-0 at halftime. Derek Carr had 200 yards at half. And then they couldn't put a lick on the Arizona Cardinals defense that got beat, had a 40 burger put on them at home in week one. And then 20 points are down, 20-0. That is a team that you're supposed to take and stomp out of your stadium. You know? Nelly playing at halftime, what, Carlos Santana playing at you know, the national anthem. You know, all the stars are out. You know, the Aces win the WNBA, and things are looking great for the Vegas sports scene.
Oh, yeah.
And they lay such a huge ass egg in the second half. Two catches for Davante Adams. The defense couldn't stop Kyler Murray. I mean, he's not easy to stop when he's rolling, but they shouldn't have let him roll. They're 0-2, and then the Chiefs are 2-0. Come on now. The only thing is that at least the Chargers team that beat them, who knows when Herbert's coming back. And once again, Broncos country is not riding. So I'm going to try and hang my hat on that one and say the Raiders are going to do what I think they can do, which is rush the passer and have a very stout passing attack. But Hunter Renfrow just can't keep putting the ball on the ground. And let's find Darren Waller, and let's find Davante Adams for more than two catches, just like in week one when they targeted him, what, 17 times? Yeah, it's personal. I'm pissed.
Seven targets yesterday.
I'm pissed.
Yeah, I mean, you should be. They're letting you down.
And those are the most disappointing teams so far of the 2022 season.
So far, our coach, Josh McDougals, because that's his new name, McDougals, really sums up his coaching style and acumen as a Raider head coach. This guy, and let me just go right to the point here, is horrible. And I will say my expectations are much higher because, well, I expected him to coach as he did before with his six Super Bowl rings. Nay, tay, my friend. What we're getting is the Josh McDaniels of the Broncos. That's right. A disgrace of buffoonery, misuse of players, poor play calling, and lousy preparation summed up his entire time with the Hoes. And I'm getting to see a very clear picture of what they saw in his short tenure of 2 years there in a Bronco country. I put on my notes here, slap in the face, what a disgrace. That's what I was going to call this particular story, but no. You know, he's still got 15 games to show me that I'm wrong. But for what I can see, he is 23rd ranked coach in the league. That's not a glowing standard. He's .393, 11 for 17 as a head coach. Carr is not Tom Brady or Josh Allen or Mahomes. He is Carr, however. And Del Rio got him to the championship, not the championship, but to the playoffs just before he got injured. Del Rio, right? So let's just consider what I see in his coaching style. He wants Derek Carr to stand in the pocket and not get out, not escape, not make good decisions, but he has particular receivers he wants the ball to go to. Bad coaching. He doesn't run the ball enough. I don't know why. That's bad coaching. He is a poor clock manager. He is a horrible user of talent. His primary job is to put players in the best position to succeed, which he is an epic failure. And I can say this because this is probably one of the best rosters we've had since 2002. I mean, our offensive line is struggling, but if we had the right coach, he would understand the dynamics of such and move the pocket, move the quarterback, change the plays. But I just think this guy brought his playbook, and this is how we're going to do it. And he's failing miserably. Because I'll tell you, in our first two contests, even we were winning the first half of this game, I wasn't confident in this team. I wasn't confident in the play calls. I wasn't confident because you know what I see? Now, maybe it's just me. The team doesn't look confident. The team looks like they're doubting his coaching style. I mean, I love Renfro. He looks frustrated. Carr, frustrated. Adams, frustrated. I think frustration is the name of the game for the Las Vegas Raiders because I just don't think the coach is putting him in a position to win. And the biggest thing is our team knows it. Our offense didn't take the foot off the gas. They couldn't find the accelerator on the second half. He was afraid to run the football. We were gaining yards. We had 60 yards all in the first half. You stop running the ball. You stop moving the ball. That's it. That's period. Carr is not Brady. And this is the problem with our head coach. And, you know, give me this mealy mouth. You know, it's my responsibility, horse manure, post-press game, post-game conference, and the next day it was the same line of coach speak, which, quite frankly, I am sick to death of.
Had opportunities in all three phases to really put the game away in the second half and didn't take advantage of those. I give credit again to them. They played really hard to grind back and get into the game, and then they made the necessary plays, converted a lot of fourth downs, two-point conversions, to be able to put the game into overtime. So give them credit. Their coaching staff did a good job. Their players did. They made one more play than we did. We'll improve. We'll be able to see a lot from this tape, and obviously we're going to need to do that as quickly as we can.
When you say, you know, putting a game away, especially offensively, mm-hmm. What do you feel like that boils down to? Is it simply execution? Is it like what combination goes into that?
I wouldn't say there's one thing. Look, when you get a lead and you have a lead in the second half of an NFL game and you're playing offense, you have to maintain the ability to be aggressive, even though the other team's going to maybe do some things to try to get the ball back or create some negative plays or turnovers to try to swing the game back in their favor. You can't can't just sit there and say, let's run, punt, and do it that way. And, again, doesn't mean you can't run the ball, but you certainly can't sit there and just hope for the game to be over. You got to play offense. You got to be aggressive. And when you're doing that and the defense is being aggressive at the same time, you know, it's going to require a lot of people to execute their job well under pressure. And, again, I think that's what you grow to that. And when you get to that point where you can do that on a continuous basis, you have the ability when you put yourself in that position to put the game away. So hopefully we'll learn from what we see today.
Do you as a play caller, does it change how you call plays if you're up 20-0 going into the second half or you in your own?
Depends on the time. Depends on the score and the time. If there's 13 minutes to go in the game, I don't think that's the time to just kneel on the ball. You have to keep playing, clearly. You saw it yesterday. I've been through games where, you know, you can always look back and do something a little bit better, and that's no different with me for this one or any game that I've called, really. You look at it and say, hey, could we have done something a little better here or there? The answer is mostly yes. But at the end of the day, you make a call that your players know how to execute, and we got to go out there and try to do the right thing. And we have a lot of good plays, and we're going to need a few more plays in key situations is what we're going to need.
Any loss, like you said, there might be a punt, just one stop on fourth down, one stop on a conversion. Is that what makes it so frustrating? Because you could probably look at 10 things yesterday that if you do one of them,
any of them. It's the NFL, you know what I mean? And that's what makes it the greatest league in the world. And we've played two close games to start the season, and that's not abnormal. You know, this league is about close games, and who executes well at the end usually give themselves a better chance to win. It's not surprising that those two games have been tight. It was two good opponents. We'll play another one this week coming up. So they're all that way. And, you know, it requires you to do hard things well under pressure if you want to win in this league. And that's what we're going to focus on trying to do better.
You mentioned the 13 minutes left in the game, the three and out. What did you see in those three short passes that went wrong, I guess?
Had good opportunities. They made a couple decent plays there relative to getting their hand on a ball. We had a chance on the first play of the drive to have a chunk play, really. I believe it was 94, got his hand on the ball in the middle of the pocket. So, like I said, we figured they would be coming after us on that drive, and they were. You know, they were trying to make it as hard as they could make it, and just made the decision that, again, I have confidence in our guys, and so, you know, want to let them keep playing. And we have to learn how to play aggressively with a lead. That's a mentality. You know, it's like a boxing match. You know, you're ahead on points after six rounds. You can't stop throwing punches. You know what I mean? You got to keep fighting. You know what I mean? And sometimes, you know, when you get your team, you know, into that mindset, you know, that they can maintain their aggression and not put themselves at risk, which that's totally doable, then they play better and you just keep the pressure on the other side. You know, you can't ever feel like, well, it's their turn to apply pressure on us, and we can't do anything about it. You know what I mean? We play offense, you know, and so offensively, we're going to dictate, you know, what personnel groupings out there and what we end up choosing to do, and the defense has to respond to it. And again, there's always little things you could say, maybe, man, I wish I would have done this better, or done that, made a different call here or there. But at the end of the day, I think with that much time left, you try to be smart and aggressive at the same time. And like I said, like it wasn't like we didn't play competitively. We did, you know. We just there's an art to learning how to finish a game the right way against an opponent who's going to apply some pressure to try to get back into it. You know what I mean? That it is what it is. You know, that's going to happen in every game that you get a lead in. You know, so I think this will be a good film for us to watch. We've had two completely different scripts here in the first 2 weeks. You know, we're behind at halftime by a couple touchdowns, and now we're ahead by three. You know. And we're going to have to figure out, you know, how to learn from both of those and do it better the next time. Every year, every team's different. There's no team that's the same from one year to the next. Each team has to learn how to continue to play and do the right things over and over and over again. the teams that win at the end have to go back through that process. I mean, that's been clear every year. So the two teams that were in the championship game last year, you know, they're 1-3 right now. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. That's the nature of this league. And, you know, you don't ever get a pass, you know, like, hey, we'll just graduate last year's, you know, process to this year's process. You got to go back through and earn it again, you know, and starts with me. You know, I don't get any points for what I've done in the past, neither does anybody else. And we're going to have to go through these growing pains together. And that's part of the National Football League regular season. Each game provides you opportunities to learn about yourself and what you might be able to do better as you move forward to become the team you want to become. And so I think that this one stings. All of them sting. You lose. You know, we pour a lot of ourselves into it each week. The guys put a ton into it in terms of their effort. And so I feel bad for them. And we're going to try to do everything we can to change the results. But I think the right thing to do is just to take it for what it is. It's a one game to learn from, take as much as we can from it, and then process it. And then at the end of the day, it's Titan. You know, it's on to the Titans. So that's the best we can do.
Josh, you guys have found some success running in spurts in both of the first two games, but you only, I think, you're averaging 17 rushes per game. Is there room to find some more carry?
Yeah, you know, I'd say the big thing for us yesterday was we found ourselves with penalties, which has been, we've kind of stayed away from that. And I thought the penalty situation yesterday, we didn't do a great job of keeping ourselves ahead of the down and distance. We had 1st and 15, 2nd and 15, 1st and 20, 2nd and 17. And so those situations themselves can become problematic relative to just being consistent, you know, in terms of runs and continuing to run the football. So we fully had the right idea there to do that and establish ourselves in that regard. And I thought JJ ran hard yesterday, thought he made some yards on his own. I thought, you know, we gave him an opportunity to get started, and we got to do a better job of playing a cleaner game on offense. You know, we had some runs called back too, you know, a couple of big ones that were called back. So our hand placement, where we have our hands, the decisions we make, we had a couple of procedure penalties. So we got to clean up our whole operation offensively and stay ahead of the down and distance. And I think the running game will come to us.
Josh, I know sacks sometimes come in bunches, but from two games for Chandler Jones, mm-hmm. any handle on where he's at right now?
No, just, I mean, we had to rush a different way yesterday. That's clearly one thing we needed to do. And, you know, we tried to keep him in front of us. He's a very difficult guy to play against. We talked about that last week. And when you rush him and you rush him over aggressively, bad things can happen. And so we tried to limit his ability to run and make a bunch of loose plays as much as we could. I know when we got tired there at the very end of the fourth quarter, you know, he extended a few plays. But, you know, we asked our guys to do a certain thing yesterday. I thought they tried to do it the right way and, you know, had some production even so. But, no, I'm not worried about that. Chandler, you know, this is the first time he's gone two games without a sack.
You guys need to learn how to play aggressively with mm-hmm. the lead. How does your play calling factor into that to make things more aggressive?
Yeah. You know, a lot of people will say it was just passing the ball, you know, with a lead. And, you know, I think that's maybe part of it. But I think, you know, if maintain your aggressiveness in terms of opportunities to make plays as opposed to take too many things out of the offense that you feel like give you that opportunity, you know. And I think sometimes you battle that. You battle it as a play caller. You battle it as a player. You know, it's human nature. You know, you have a lead. You want to try to protect it. And sometimes the feeling would be, well, if we just don't risk anything, then maybe we'll be okay. I've never felt that that's really the right thing to do, because the other side, you know, they're still playing too. You know, and so even though you have a lead offensively, it doesn't mean you have enough points, you know. And so in order to score enough to win, you know, somebody'd have to tell me at halftime, yeah, here's the magic number. I don't know what that is, you know. And I've seen teams, and we saw a bunch of them yesterday. I mean, I didn't see every game, but I kind of, you know, was made aware of it. There's a bunch of games where, like, teams had 14, 20 points leads, including us, and then the other team comes roaring back, you know. So offenses can score points in bunches in this league. We know that. And I just think that when you have a lead, you got to be careful about thinking you have enough, you know. And so The defensive coordinators are usually going to get a little bit more aggressive to try to make some plays. And, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to our overall execution, whether we're running it, throwing it, you know, drop back, play action, tossing the ball, draw, whatever the play is. If we execute it, you know, well enough, we're going to give ourselves an opportunity. And we had plenty of them. You know, we had plenty of opportunities to win the game in both phases, really. You know, the kicking game was a little less as the game wore on. But offensively and defensively, we had plenty of opportunities. We're just going to have to make, you know, one more than they do.
He looks like a deer in the headlights. He looks like his head's going to blow off his shoulders at any minute. He's trying to keep it cool. I guess he went to an acting school between his last coaching ordeal and now, because he's really hiding it, but not really. Look at his eyes. Deer in headlights. The offense is struggling because of our coaching. It's not the players. Listen, our GM is finding players every game. We're getting a new signing, it seems like, every day. It's not the players. It's the coaching. For sure. Which leads me into the postgame for this nightmare. The Redbirds, who were lost in the first half, who didn't have an answer to our offense. Their defense played very well. But their offense was struggling against our defense until, mind you, their coaches figured it out.
A lot of people are popping off about this, so let's hear what some of those guys got to say.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a post-game episode of State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined, as always, by Vic Tafer, Deshaun Reed, and Ted Wynn. And what can you say? The largest blown lead in franchise history. 20-0 at halftime. The Raiders lose 29-23 in overtime. And the Raiders are 0-2. Hard to understate the magnitude of how disappointing this loss is. It was a pretty crushing one.
To me, this one just really bad, because the Cardinals clearly did not have interest in winning this game early on. They were getting dominated. And to me, it looks like they were ready to check out. Like, even they came back after halftime. What are we doing here? Let's just hop on the bus. To me, the Cardinals clearly were ready to lose. They were ready to bow out, and the Raiders gave them every possible chance to get back in the game. And then everything had to happen a certain way to lose the game. It's nuts. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a cliche, but it's really a tale of two halves. Because that first half, I mean, you know, I was thinking as we were watching it, like, it's the best first half of Raiders football I've seen since I got on the beat. And looking it up, it was their best first half performance since 2015.
Ah, you looked it up. You jinxed them. See,
wow, this seems unprecedented. They're playing like excellent. It's like everything was playing out like we thought it was going to play out during the season or during the week. We all, you know, predicted this to be a pretty comfortable win for the Raiders, and all the reasons were showing up. The pass rush was going early. The offense was more balanced. They were taking advantage of them both in the pass game and the run game. And in the second half, just everything fell apart, and it wasn't like, you know, the Cardinals suddenly had this explosion or the Raiders started turning the ball over like crazy. It was just a really slow, methodical comeback. And every step along the way, it just seemed like it was destined for the Raiders to blow that lead somehow. I mean, some weird play calling in the second half. It was like they were strangely conservative without burning any clock. Like, usually, you know, if they just handed the ball off a few times and it's like, oh, they're running on first down, running on second down and throwing, and be like, oh, you're complaining about that. No, they were just throwing a bunch of short passes that didn't go anywhere and punting the ball very quickly without really taking any time off the clock. And so it was a weird, the offensive play calling, you know, last week it was kind of reversed. They started off slow and got going in the second half. This week they started off fast and tapered off in the second half. And so it just seems like an inconsistent team, I think, is the overall message to this point. And that's played out in the first two games. It's only two games, but it seems pretty clear there's going to be a trait of this team, at least early on in the season.
It just didn't look like Carr was very comfortable. I think they played a little bit tighter on the Raiders. They brought a little bit more pressure. And it does not look like Carr was comfortable with what he was seeing or, you know, his reads. There's a pass where Renfrow stopped and Carr was just like staring at him. It looked like he didn't know which way Renfrow was going to break. And then he missed that pass on second down, which led to a third and long. And then he didn't look comfortable in the second half. And a lot, some of that has to do with play calling. Like, you have to find a way to get your number one receiver the ball. Carr does not look like he knows what he's doing quite yet in his offense on every snap.
Vic, I kind of wonder, you know, you wrote about it on Saturday. With this offense right now, Derek Carr is doing what Josh McDaniels wants him to do. Some of these, there are plays where it is a predetermined read. You're going and you're throwing it to that play. That's not where Derek Carr has typically succeeded in the past. He's succeeded in the past with his ability to go up to the line of scrimmage, be able to make adjustments and be able to read plays. Does this kind of concern you that this way that Josh McDaniels is kind of forcing Derek Carr into this rigid, you are going to do only what I tell you to do?
I think definitely it's growing pains. I'm sure both guys are going to have to learn to adjust to each other. And I think that today was a case where, you know, first half, I'm sure they must have graphics like, oh, the Raiders are spreading the ball around. They got three to Hollins. They got Renfro going. They don't even need Adams. Adams only has two catches, and they're on fire. But that second half, you know, the guy has no catches. So I'm sure the whole that graphic is reversed. Like, hey, what happened to Davante Adams? The guy, you know, the new star of the franchise, the face of the franchise, and the guy who I'm sure wanted the ball with the game on the line, his grandparents watched him the first time of his life, and I know he was pissed off. He left in a huff when the game was over. So I just, to me, you know, they all have to work together. I'm sure that it's, like I said, growing pains. But at some point, Devontae and Derek have to have, like, some more, I won't say input, but there has to be a point where, okay, this is our guy. Let's go to our guy. And let's win this game, because you can't cover it. That's the thing with Devontae. You can't cover me. Like, you can do A, B, and C, and you can't get me. So in this case, there was no A, B, and C. It just was nothing. So to me, that's the biggest concern, is like they never went back to what they do well, which you would think a good play caller would do.
They came out in the second half, and you saw the results. Patrick, I need a Graham. Couldn't figure it out. I just don't understand how you could be such a defensive mind and not be prepared for this quarterback. How could you not have someone glued to him throughout the game? How could you not look at pass defenses and see how they schemed Mighty Mouse? It's perplexing.
My criticism of the defense would be when they got into the red zone, and I know Patrick Graham likes rushing three. That's part of his scheme. But like, I think the theory is you're rushing three, but you have a bunch of zone eyes on Murray in case he runs. But then when he's running around for 20 seconds, he causes so much chaos that everybody's out of position. So it doesn't matter, you know, if you have eyes on him, everybody's out of position. And, you know, that clearly became a factor. And then, okay, if that happens once or twice, fine. But like, they kept on playing so much too high in the red zone and just rushing three or four, and you couldn't contain them rushing three or four. So I was expecting like to see maybe a heavy blitz and just play man and take your chances playing man, because if you send more defenders out at him, there's less rushing lanes and less time for him to, you know, run around and go in circles and stuff. So that was my criticism of the play calling. It did get conservative, and I thought he should have turned up the aggression when it became clear that they weren't going to contain him with a three-man rush.
But I do agree that once, you know, you see him starting to figure that out. I talked to Nate Hobbs a little bit in the locker room, and he was saying, you know, he felt like it was more about the Cardinals, you know, sort of reacting to what the Raiders game plan was. They tried to just translate what they did in the first half to the second half, and the Cardinals were the team that made adjustments. But once the Cardinals adjusted, the Raiders just kept doing what they were doing. And it is surprising for Patrick Graham, because he's usually pretty flexible in game and willing to change fronts, change coverages, mix things up. They kind of played it safe. Another cliche, they kind of played not to lose in this one. Softer coverages, safe coverages, being conservative on offense without running the football much. You know, they had a nice cushion there, obviously, 3-score lead, but it wasn't an insurmountable cushion or anything of that nature. And so, especially once it started to become a game and it was clear that they were kind of in the danger zone, you know, you would like to see some more adjustments from the coaching staff.
Well, we also have to give credit to Kyler Murray, because he made some amazing plays. Like, some of those plays were by the skin of his teeth, you know, like breaking away from Max Crosby on 4th and 4, and then that touchdown pass in the back of the end zone with, like, you know, barely any space to make it. So credit to him, you know, like, we're criticizing play calling, but I mean, he made some amazing plays in that second half.
I just don't get it. I don't understand what happened to our vaunted defense. And don't get me started on Chandler Jones. You know, I just know the sound bites of the game where, oh, Chandler Jones is doing things. You just can't see them, but he's doing a lot. I don't think so, Tim. You know, he had one tackle. And maybe I don't really see a lot of pressure, but Max Crosby, usual. He was putting on, doing his thing, getting it done. I just find it, Jonathan Abrams played well. Amik Robertson played well. I mean, we did okay. I mean, wish Denzel Perryman would get back. Nate Hobbs, the man, got called for a baloney call where he intercepted the ball. That was garbage. Rocky Sin played a good game. I just don't know. I just don't know if this coach is up to it as well. Daron Harmon was a beast in this game as well. I don't know if this defensive coach is up to this. You know, we had a better defense last year with less guys, with less talent. And our offense is certainly way better, but our coaching is way worse. We played far better without a head coach last season. This is an absolute mess, meltdown, an embarrassment. I feel bad for the team because they're not the head. The head needs a good slapping. Because if this is what we're going to get for the remainder of this year, then I just don't think this season will be even close to being worthy of anything that we had with our own expectations. And that is all I have to say about that. A bit convoluted, I'm sure, but I'm just trying to hold it back. Just trying to hold it back.
Tennessee, there ain't no place I'd rather be. Baby, won't you carry me back to Tennessee?
Well, here we are, man, in beautiful, where are we?
Nashville,
Tennessee. That's, last night was harsh, dude.
All right, a short pregame for the Tennessee Titans. We travel to Tennessee for this game. They got a great tailgate there. They got a great fan base. Tennessee is rocking. I've been there. The Prez has got all the details on this, but they will definitely take care of the Raider Nation if you show up there. Now, they're 0-2 as well. Boy, there's nothing better than to play for your life. But I think it's important. I think it's important that we play the Titans and win this game because we need it. And so do they, which tends to make an entertaining contest. The Titans last game played the Bills and they were slaughtered 44-12 or some crazy number. They were bulldozed to the ground by the best team, in my opinion, in the AFC. The Bills are real. There's no doubt. You watch them play. Nothing is slowing the Bills down. I don't see it. Even the Mahomes and the Chiefs, I just don't think they got a chance against these Bills, honestly. But let's go back to our Titans game. They are furious. They want to make up for their last game. And the Raiders are a perfect team for them to do it on. Derrick Henry hasn't slowed down. Matter of fact, he's just getting warmed up. We best be ready for him, Patrick. I need a Graham. Because if we're not ready, well, I don't need to tell you what will happen. I mean, there's a lot of things I could say. Their quarterback is not super good, but he's pretty mobile. He can bust out of the pocket, and he can hurt you. They have Robert Woods, Taylor Dewan, I mean, Austin Hooper, which is a very good tight end. I mean, they've got good players, and they've got a good defense. Not good enough for the Bills, oh, but very good enough for the Las Vegas Raiders. So I'll just say this. I'm not going to predict a win, nor will I predict a loss. What I will predict is one thing. We got to have one thing out of this team, and that's a just win, baby, attitude. No fluff, no stats, no hurrahs, but we have to have a coach, instead of going out to dinner, watch his film. And let me just say this right now before we go into the bone line, because this is my dream. And my dream is Sean Payton. My dream is Mark Davis wakes up from a dream that says, you best go out there and pay Sean Payton. You listen to him on any of these shows. He is a genius. And think about it. He took a team with marginal, if not marginal, and had this team winning. He didn't have a quarterback and they were winning. He knew how to scheme. He knew how to put players in the right positions to win. Sean Payton didn't have very many excuses, but what he did have, a lot of wins, baby. I say we dump this chump and try to coerce Sean Payton into being the next head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders because, you know, I'm not seeing a lot, but a lot of deer in the headlights in this coach. And listen, we paid him. Mark Davis should have looked at his record. I don't see it improving, but that's me. You know, I'm kind of that kind of guy. Let's hope we beat these Titans because I think we can. I know personnel on paper, we got them. We got them. If Patrick Graham does his job, if Chandler Jones gets off the ball and gets in there and does his job, our defensive backs seem to be doing a pretty good job. Our linebackers seem to be doing a pretty good job. If we plan for this game, we should win. I'm just not sure we can. Because last time we had a ship without a rudder, well, I don't need to tell you. So let's go get this one, Raiders. We need this W. And so do they, but we definitely need it. And that is all I have to say about that. Bad to the bone. 1-800-620-7181. 1-800-620-7181. And this will not be a Raiders counseling session. Not yet. But I'm preparing that in case we need it. I'm holding on to it. But this is certainly a place where you can get some venting. That's what we love about the Bone Line. We all have similar thoughts. So let's just see who's first on the show. And our first caller from Tennessee, the Prez is on the line. What you got for us, my good brother?
Raider Nation. This is the Prez, as you already know, calling it out of Memphis, Tennessee. Despicable, ridiculous, and other adjectives that can describe not pleasant things again. I mean, what's it going to take, man? And have you seen the schedule? We got the Titans next. If we can't stop little itty-bitty diaper wearing Murray. Then when King Henry, Mr. Stiff Arm, Monster Truck, Baby Beast Mode himself runs through us, man, this is just getting old, man. And I really feel for the Raider Nation people who paid their hard-earned money. The Raider Nation was on fire in Las Vegas, man, and they was happy for this, whatever. And quite frankly, I'm just going to be honest with you, man. I really don't see the significance of anything different than when we had John Gruden, except minus the BS and the stuff we went through. That coach, man, if he doesn't show us anything by week four, man, he's just another face, man. Just came from another good family tree up on a Belichick, you know. I don't see anything, you know, good or anything spectacular that's going to, like, lead me. I guess a team like that, we should have been scoring the board. I thought I was going to at least see 42 to whatever and everything. We played conservative. We took our foot off the pedal, and we got out coached once again. Now, this is going to be a little special, a little take right here because I'm getting it ready for you guys to come down here and have a good time. Getting prepared for the upcoming Titans game. Friday, we'll be at Big Love Smoke Cigar for the meet and greet, starting at 7 p.m. and at midnight. And if you hear that, look up Big Love Smokes. It's going to be music. We have a food truck out there and some good fried southern fish. And bring your own liquor, smoke your cigars, and have a good time for the meet and greet. That is Friday. Saturday is at Bowie's, like it's in David Bowie's, from 7 until, and the Raider Nation and Memphis, Tennessee chapter will be celebrating their 22nd anniversary of Raider Nation love being recognized and all that good stuff. And then there'll be the tailgate Sunday, and then the game. So see you there, Raider Nation, for all that is coming down. We're going to keep it going on for you guys. And I will see you there. Look for the old praise and prayers down there in Tennessee. And I also got to give a shout out to Bam Raider of the Music City Raider Nation. You know, he's an upcoming chapter down there. This is the prayer sign off saying Raiders. So says the prayer.
Well, check that out because that is where you go if you go into this game. And I think it'd be a great game to go to. I've been there. Great stadium, great people, really great people. So go in there and support the Raider Nation down there in Tennessee. Have a good time. Let's hope we can pull out a win. Brother, I feel you when it comes to the team. I think we all do. Appreciate the call. Our next caller is the RVA Raider. That's Raider Trip to everybody out there. What's up, my good brother?
Hey, this is Raider Trip calling at the end of that travesty of a game. What the hell just happened? That was just terrible. I mean, it was an old school Raider style meltdown from pretty much the beginning of the second half on. I feel like we just saw this. Did that just happen at the end of last season where we let a team score two touchdowns with 2 two-point conversions at the end? I mean... Let's not forget to give the refs their due as well. I mean, the penalties we committed were just ridiculous. But there were some bullshit calls in that game as well. And Carr just looked like a deer in headlights at the end of that game. And then to top it off, Mr. Reliable, Hunter Renfro, has those two fumbles in a row. And the last one, obviously, you know how it turned out. What a bunch of bullshit. I'm out.
Appreciate the call, brother. Frustration is the name of the game when it comes to the Raider Nation. Renfro, the second time, shouldn't have been passed to. They should have passed to someone else. Should have been another play. But I will tell you, the coach wanted the ball to go back to him. I'm 99% sure. So let's just pin the tail on the right donkey. Appreciate the call, brother. I love this next caller. I love him because he's consistent, and I love his takes. This is Raider Dan from KC. You guys know him. You got to love him. I do. What is up, my good brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy. This is Raider Dan from KC. I hope you're doing therapy on the podcast, because I am pissed. I don't even know really where to start at. I'll start with the biggest problem I see. I'm not saying get rid of him. Josh McDaniels is very arrogant. It's a nice word. I try to keep it clean for everybody. You know, he are a-hole. You know, he needs to establish the run. I don't know why he feels like he's the smartest guy in the room and he has to prove something. Look, man, the game is not that complicated. Sure, we have a okay offensive line. You got to go out there and run the ball. Two tight ends, fullback. Josh Jacobs was effective. Second half, you come out there to do what? So you watch Carr throw the ball. I'm not going to beat up on Carr that much because all this, the whole game to me comes down to the coach. You know, sometimes I listen to some of his press conference. I'm done doing that because it's stupid. Hey, look, man, you should have played him in the preseason. It's quite obvious. The check at the end where Carlos throws the interception and overtime, hell, if everybody was on the same page, Adams is walking in the end zone. But anyway, I'm going to let other people get on the bottom line. Go Raiders. I got my tickets already for Sparrowhead. Very good seat in the Raiders side. 5-yard line. Don't disappoint me. Don't waste my $500 that I paid to see my beloved team. And it's always well worth it. Go Raiders.
Well, I can't guarantee a good game. I would hope for a decent contest at Sparrowhead. But the way it's looking now, my brother, unless our head coach has a head transplant, well, just have a good time in the parking lot, as I know you will. I appreciate your call, and your takes are always good. I have to agree with you about this coach. I say Sean Payton. You heard me say it, and I mean it. And our next caller is David and Melody 253 of the Northwest Raider Nation. Is in the house. What do you got for the nation, my good brother?
David and Melody 253, Northwest Raider Nation. That's what happens, Raider Greg. That's what happens when you take your foot off the gas. Everything is moving and grooving. The defense, even though they played like shit, they gave you a chance to win. Stopped them at the end of the game. Renfro just fumbled. Jacobs is running his ass off. We're 5 yards away from the field goal. Why not run it to Jacobs? You got one of the best field goal kickers in the game. You took your foot off the gas, and you can't do that with a soft-ass quarterback that won't change the play at the line. Tired of the Raider Greg. We got the weapons. Now, I guess we have to deal with coaching bullshit again, you know? And I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of it. I'm out.
Well, you know, we're all tired of it, bro. We're all very tired of it, hoping for a different outcome this year with the roster. But no, and it's not Carr. I'm telling you now, man, all you guys that think it's Carr, it's not Carr. Carr is a coach pleaser. If the coach says stand in the pocket, he's going to stand in the pocket. If the coach says something else, he's going to do it. He's a coach's quarterback. It's not Carr. It's our head coach. He is lost. And in that, so is our team. I know, brother. I feel it. We're all feeling it right now. We're 0-2. Let's hope that we can go to Tennessee and get something done. And our next caller is Maddie Raider. Love this guy, too. Been around for a little while. What's up, my good Raider brother?
Hey, guys, Matty Raider, Albany, New York, calling in after these losers played yesterday. Epic collapse, probably one of the worst losses I can remember. Cruising, playing prevent defense, shit the bed second half, no adjustments. McDaniels looked lost on the sidelines, bunch of goofballs. Defense was gassed. Jacobs is running 6 yards a clip. All you got to do is hand it to him a couple of times and he gets in field goal range and that's it. But nope, we got to throw it. Carr looks like a deer in the headlights, almost gets picked. Go to Renfro, he gets his bell rung after he gets the ball popped out. But what does he do? He pops it out again. They scoop it up and score, and we're 0-2. Like all the pundits said, we would be the worst in the AFC West. Even those bum donkeys beat Houston yesterday, just barely. But guess what? A win is a win. They're 1-1. We're 0-2. So next week, we go on the road to Tennessee. I don't really think we can win that game, not from what I saw yesterday. These guys better be all business this week. I know every game's a must win. You go 0-3, that's it, dude. At least I still got the Yankees, but this is unbelievable.
First off, I appreciate the call as always, the passion, the emotion, and the attention to detail. Listen, Carr had no choice. The coach is a buffoon. I can say it till I'm blue in the face. It's not going to change our coach. And I can only hope that Mark sees this guy for who he really is. He's a pretender. And I am sick of his coach speak already. And it's only game 2. Thanks for the call, my good brother. And our next caller is the Carson Raider. What is going on, my good brother?
Hey, what's going on, man? Raider Greg, this is the Carson Raider. I've listened to your show for, I think, almost a decade now. And I got to say, man, you're the heart and soul of Raider Nation in so many ways, man. For the ups and downs, you have made quality content. And I have to thank you, brother, for everything you've done for us. And it truly makes my day, man. Every time you make me laugh, you make me smile, man. It's just, it's a great podcast, man. It's a realist. You always keep it real, man. Just keep it up. I just want to say something, man. Our defense was gassed. But one thing that disappointed me the most was I feel like we really only have two defensive players, Max Crosby or Max Dougsby and Nate Hobbs, man. Other than that, I feel like freaking Chandler Ghost Jones was nowhere to be found. And the defense wasn't really playing that good. They got burned the second half. And now on to Carr, man. I mean, I know I'm as frustrated as every other Raider fan about Carr, but the one thing I feel a lot of people forget is Carr is a teacher's pet. You know what I mean? He's a coach's quarterback. This guy spent so many years getting used to Gruden's offense, and he was taught to run out of the pocket when he feels the pressure. He was taught to, throw a certain way in certain situations. Now you have Josh McDougal's, and, he completely is changing Carr's mechanics. And Carr allows himself to have his mechanics changed because he's just a coach pleaser. Now he has to stay in the pocket. He can no longer run. He's not used to it. He's basically just throwing to whoever McDougal's tells him to throw to. It's sad, but it's just the truth, brother. So let's not have high expectations for this season, as most of us, including me, were. It's heartbreaking, man. It's really heartbreaking. Anyways, let's do it like last year, man. Let's ride it out and just accept the fact that we have a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, and the Raiders invested too much in McDougal's and Carr to turn back now, man. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. I can't afford to get depressed, man. It's going to make my medical bill high. And you know how insurance costs these days. Anyways, man. Love you, brother. Keep it up. I'm out.
First off, thank you for the props, man. It makes Randy and I feel very good knowing that the fan base appreciates the honesty, the candid takes. And it's almost like you said, well, you said exactly what I just said. Carr is a coach pleaser. He'll do whatever each coach, Del Rio, Gruden, you know, you name the coach, and he, whatever they make him do, he does it, period. And McDougal's, you know, thinks he's Tom Brady. He's not Tom Brady. He doesn't see the field the same. He doesn't read the defense the same. Ah, man, I don't mind Carr. I mind our coach a lot. And I don't know, man, maybe Mark should just eat the money and move on because it doesn't look. We'll see what happens the rest of the year. I know I'm getting gloomy and doomy, but holy moly, this guy can't coach his way out of a bag. Yeah. And our defensive coordinator, great take, brother. Appreciate the call. Can you smell the cheese? I can smell it because it's a cheesehead Raider in the house. Love it, brother. I'm glad you're back. What do you got for the nation?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation. This is an extremely still pissed off cheesehead Raider from Wisconsin. What the F is going on? Didn't call in last week because I didn't really see the game. I was more listening to it on a podcast. You know, that debacle, offensive line, same problems that we're having, same problems we had last year. But two games now. If you remember with the Chargers game before halftime, we have three timeouts. I believe there's 34 seconds. We've got Waller, Renfro, and Adams, and Josh Jacobs calls, run up the middle, run the clock out. Doesn't even attempt to get points. Now, play calling in this game. You are handing it to the Cardinals, and the second half you go to sleep. Why are you taking your foot off the gas? You're up that much. Your first game in the stadium, you should keep your foot on the throat and keep pushing down. Why in overtime, after Hunter fumbles the pass, do we go back and throw it to him again? Why aren't we running the ball? We're already in field goal range. It's been reported that Josh McDaniels has Carr going to a certain spot and not giving him the freedom to read how the defense and that is. Is that the reason Tom Brady left when he said, I wanted to be treated like an adult, not a child? We've got some problems, and it's seeming in two games that it's coming from the head coach. I know it's kind of early, but since 1990, 11% is your percentage of getting into the playoffs after starting 0-2. 11%. We were in the playoffs last year, almost had a win. If it wasn't for the officials, of course, Raider fans will know that. 11%, 0-2. We drop a game in the division. Now we lose our home opener. 0-2, 11%, Raider Nation.
Love the call as always, bro. Love the passion as always. Yeah, I just think we bit off the wrong coach. And we gave him too much money for too long. He needed a one-year contract to see if he's going to do anything. But no, we went in hook, line, and sinker. And the sinker part is what we're feeling right now. Appreciate the call as always. We'll see what happens. Hey, man, looks like another Raiders season under another buffoon head coach. We've seen this movie. Appreciate the call, brother. And our next caller is a repeat, but I love this call. This is the RVA Raider after a day of reflection, and I agree with him 150%. Listen to what he has to say.
Hey, Raider Nation. This is Raider Tripp calling back again. This is the day after the game. Just want to call back and give my opinion after I had an opportunity to process that joke of the game yesterday. And here's my two cents, that these guys are a bunch of jokers. They're just a bunch of clowns. And all you can do, a bunch of clowns, is just laugh at them. So try not to get too upset about this. Try not to let it get you down. Yesterday, rather than spend an afternoon with my 13-year-old and 10-year-old daughters, I went and watched this joke of a game. And I really wish I had just spent that time with them. I'm not sure I'm going to watch this team again until they can pull out a few W's to show that they're more than just a joke. And you know what? That's all right. I'm always going to be a fan. But this team isn't worth giving up the precious moments of life for to watch. So, you know, when I'm at work today and people are joking on me for wearing my Raiders hard hat and all that good stuff, you know, I'm just going to laugh, be like, yep, you know, they suck. What more can you do? Because life's too short, and it's not worth letting this team's failures and inepticies get us down. So, you know, keep your head up, Raider Nation. We always got each other. That's really what this team has been about the last 20 years, is the fan base and just commiserating together. So, you know, I hope everyone has a good week, and talk to y'all later. I'm out.
Thank you for that call, brother, because I love it. It really does say exactly what I feel about the team this year already. Now, I wasn't going to lose my mind, and I'm still not going to lose my mind over this team. You know, it's not worthy of me losing my mind, so I don't let it, and I can't let it. So, you know, if I'm not there to watch the game, I'll record it. I'm at church. And trust me, I love being in church. I love going to church, bro. I love Jesus Christ. He's my guiding light. And the Raiders are a distant third or fourth after family. But I don't let it bother me. I can't let it bother me to that point. And if I got time to spend with my family or my church rather than see this team, man, until they're going to the Super Bowl or playing decent, it is what it is, because the fans are really what makes this team. Love that take, bro. Our next caller is Raider Steve from Las Vegas. Diehard Raider fan with great takes, and he put his money down where his mouth is for this team this year and for season tickets. He's got a bunch of them, and he's a great fan. What do you got for us, my good brother?
Hey, Raider Greg, it's Raider Steve in Vegas. I was at the game yesterday. It was miserable. I don't have any hope for this team. This is just like Gruden when he first came back. The key difference is Gruden came back and blew it up. He had nowhere near the talent that this team has right now, and it's a disgrace. Josh McDaniels is a joke. Play calling is a joke. You know, I felt it last week during the Chargers game, like, this doesn't, you know, I've got a bad feeling about this. I fully expected us to blow out the Cardinals, and it started that way. But even when we scored those 20 points, it didn't feel great. You know what I mean? It just felt like it wasn't very dynamic. You look at the players, but you can tell they're disinterested, man. I could see it on their face. You could see it on their body language. Yesterday was just an absolute disaster. And, I don't think we're going to go to Tennessee and beat the Titans. They're going to kick our ass. And then we might beat the Broncos. But none of this matters, man. We're going to lose to the Chiefs, probably lose to Tennessee. But it's not looking good, man. And we can't beat the Chiefs, can't beat the Chargers. So this season's over. So that's my take on it. I'm not going to another game until they turn this around. I'm getting my money back. Tired of this shit, man. You know, and I'll be lucky to get my money back, because that's how this time works. You know, I'll be getting pretty much $10 over face value for my tickets moving forward, because nobody wants to go and live through this shit again. I sure as hell don't. And you know what? We just pissed away 2 years, all these awesome contracts we had. They're going to blow it up by year 3. It's over, man.
I can't do this shit anymore. I'm so tired of this, man. I didn't like the Josh McDaniels hire, and I started coming around and started buying into the hype. And you know what? He's fat. I'm sorry that we're all going to have to watch this crap play out this year. And then Mark Davis is going to have to maintain this guy one more year because we got a good GM finally. But you know what? That's it, man. We're screwed. We're doomed as a franchise. And I'm sorry, man. I'm out.
Well, there you go. Now, Steve is a great fan, and he's a smart fan. And he's not the only guy that can see through this paper tiger. I hope Mark Davis can see through this guy. It can't be just the fans. And I understand what you mean about tickets. Trying to sell your tickets when the team looks like this, it's a tough day. You can't even give them away. I know, as a season ticket holder for 14 years. And when the team did this, well, it's a tough day on Sunday when you don't want to go and neither does anyone else. I'm sorry for you, brother, but we all had high expectations of this guy, and I think you make a good point. Gruden had nothing. This guy's got everything, and he is such a buffoon, and we will not beat the Chargers. And we may beat the Broncos, but we will be exactly what everyone says in the toilet of our division. Appreciate the call, brother. Keep your head up. It's not all that. Just keep your head up, my friend. Our next caller is Ruben from North Carolina. I love this call. Listen closely because he's got a lot of good stuff.
Dennis Allen, Tony Sperano, Jack Del Rio, Rick Bisaccia, John Gruden, and now Josh McDaniels. Raider Nation, this is Ruben from North Carolina calling in. Just gave you a list of head coaches that Derek Carr has gone through over his 9-year career. Yeah, this loss is heavy on Renfro, but before he started going dirty at Renfro, think about who's the face of the franchise and how he leads the league in fumbles. This past week was horrible. Terrible game from both sides of the ball on the coaching part. You can't just score 3 points in the second half and, stop an offense on third down when they always go 3-for-13 on third down and lose. You can't. That's unacceptable. I don't know what Josh McDaniels is doing. He is not putting his team in a position to win. There are guys sitting on a bench or playing special teams when they should be out there performing. Chandler Jones hasn't shown up for nothing. I see comments talking about, just the little things that Chandler Jones is doing that nobody's ever seen. But the guy has led the league in sacks the last couple of years. So I'm still waiting for him to show up. The interior line on the defensive side, this staff didn't look at this team and what they did, what they had, what they went through last season, and we made the playoffs. I don't understand. Everybody's calling that this guy needs a number one wide receiver. He had that the best receiver in the league. What is the deal? I need some help understanding why this team has so much hope going into the season. And I know it's a young season. We're 2 games in. And I don't want to panic, but these 2 performances gives me a lot of worry and insecurity. Something's got to give. We got the best wide receiver. We locked up our best players. The Waller, Renfro, Brosnan, they're all locked up for the next couple of years guaranteed. So we got to do something with these guys before they leave, decide to go take their talents elsewhere. So I hate to see it happen, but I don't want those guys gone. I want those guys to stay lifelong Raiders and retire as a Raider. But it's not looking good for us right now. So thanks for taking my call. I hope everybody has a good day.
Well, I love your take. As a matter of fact, as I listened to it, I just thought of the players that we used to have on our team that play for other teams and do a great job. I've seen players leave the Raiders, go elsewhere, and do a fantastic job. And these players you're talking about are great players. I don't know, man. I'm going to watch from afar and give my takes, and hopefully we can laugh more than we cry, because I ain't crying over this team. Not anymore. I used to, but no way. Love the call, brother. And our next caller is the Ghost, Raider. What do you got for us, bro?
What's up, Raider Nation? This is Ghost Raider coming at you. Well, another one. Another L. Boy, man. I don't even know what to say. This time I actually, instead of putting out a something out quickly, I waited and, you know, digest what was going on in Raider Nation. Raiders just don't have an identity yet. The offense, that is. The loss we should never have happened. That should have never happened. We should have won that game. But that goes back to coaching. O-line sucks. I don't care what freaking analyst tells you, oh, it's not the O-line. Corey is literally getting that ball out 3 seconds, 4 seconds. He was not holding that ball. Now, he made a lot of errors, but, man, I think we can fix and adjust quickly, because we're not a bad team. You see we scored a lot of points, or just not enough points. But we didn't have the O-line, or not the O-line, but the offense on the field long. I mean, we got to have the offense on the field. It was the defense. Defense got tired. Defense low-key did their job. So I'm not even complaining about defense, really. We just don't have an identity. Just be happy that it's week two, because we still have time. Everybody knows the statistic about 0-2 doesn't make the playoffs. Well, let's change things, because, you know, Raider Nation is a new era.
Well, I got to disagree with you, brother. We do have an offensive line. We just don't have an offensive mind. We have no head. We're a body without a head. We're a ship without a rudder, and our team can only do as well as our coaching staff. And right now, it's garbage. It's garbage. It shows with the team, shows with the play calling, shows with the buffoonery of managing down and distance. I don't think McDaniels is the guy. I think he's arrogant, like another guy said, that he doesn't see his mistakes. He wants to blame the players or move the players around. He's not a coach. I don't think the team likes him. Honestly, look at their body language. They all look absolutely frustrated. And I think that's a direct reflection on the leadership. So I'm not blaming the O-line for anything. I'm not blaming anybody except for the coaching offensively. And last game, defensively, for sure, they were tired. They were tired. But the defensive coach should have had a spy on this butterfly. The guy that, listen, man, he was on the field for 22 seconds and ran the ball in for a touchdown. I don't need to say any more than that. Appreciate the call. And our next caller, a frequent caller. Love this guy. Love you, brother. Raiders Chris from Scranton, PA. I love his takes. What's up, my friend?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nation, Raider Chris, Scranton, PA. Calling for the fourth time. I hope this is the only one you play. Now that I'm sober, relaxed, calm down after yesterday's embarrassing loss, I have no words. You blew a 22-0 lead. And why Robertson is even out there boggles my mind. You stop feeding Jacobs and Abdullah the ball. which, by the way, they both played phenomenal, in my opinion. Holland balled out. Davante Adams and the rest of our crew just disappeared. Derek Carr, don't know what he's doing. But we made Mighty Mouse look like Joe Montana all the time in the world. That was pathetic. Raider Nation, we didn't see an 0-2 start. Buckle in. It's going to be a bumpy ride this year. I'm out like that fat girl in dodgeball.
I love your takes, man. You know, I got nothing else to say, but other than I agree about the bumpy ride. So, you know, let's ride. Let's ride along and not get too emotional, because I think that's the kind of season we're in for. So just watch the comedy and don't get emotional and realize we are, as we can go as far as our coach can take us. And our next caller is the Bluegrass Raider. What you got for us, my Raider brother?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, Raider Nations, Bluegrass Raider. Two games, Raider Greg. Two games that I've already written off this season completely. 20 points in the first half, and we absolutely blew it. 20 points. Our coach is a buffoon, an absolute buffoon who second guesses himself constantly. We are back to the way we were before Bisaccia. I think we should have stuck with him. At least we would have had some sort of continuity. The players love playing for him. He was letting Derek call plays that were allowing him to be more effective. Derek is like in headlights. He's throwing behind. He's not giving enough time. I know he's made some plays that were just boneheaded. I'm not totally saying it's not his fault. But this is inexcusable. My faith in this team is absolutely shaken, and I am pissed off. I have already written off this season. I do not want us to become the new Cleveland Browns, the new Detroit Lions. I can't stand it. This is absolutely, we are the laughing stock of the league right now, blowing 20 points on a team that we should have at least doubled that on without question. I do not know what to do with this. I do not know how to keep my head up after a loss like this. They say, oh, even Lincoln Kennedy was on there. Oh, it was a great game. It was a great game. Not against a team you should have absolutely annihilated. He knew more than anybody. Foot on the throat, and you don't give up. You don't let up. That is the Raider. That is the Raider way. The Raider way is not, oh, keeping it tight, keeping it close, almost losing the game, coming back. That is not us. We put the foot on the throat. We make teams afraid, and we destroy them. That's what it is. Just tell me what you think, Raider Greg. I'm sorry. I got to calm down. I'm out.
Well, first, thank you for the call, brother. Second is, yeah, you should just calm down. And don't worry about it. Man, when people look at me when I shirt on or my hat and they say, the Raiders suck, I say, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. They're the new Cleveland Browns, whatever, because, hey, man, they ain't paying me. They ain't paying you. They ain't paying none of your bills. And you know what? You can't change what they are. So you have to ride along with it. Watch it if you can. If you can spend time with your kids, your family, your wife on a Sunday instead of seeing them, I suggest you do so. Record it. See it when you got time. But do not waste your time or your family time or your church time watching this game live while it's happening, unless you got time to waste. Because this year, it is a waste of time. Appreciate the call, brother. And our next caller is Raider Mystic. I love him. He's always very positive. What's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Raider Mystic kick with your Monday morning mood. Hey, I'm doing all right. I still got my coffee with some cream and sugar in it. Tastes kind of good. I still woke up really early, and I recorded a couple rap verses for a new Raider track we're doing about Denver, which is like the fifth track we're doing about Denver, which is great.
But my take away from yesterday's disaster at the end is, man, you can never not rush the quarterback in that situation. That's my only takeaway. I give it up to Hunter Renfrow for fighting. Yeah, he did have two fumbles, but he's a player. He's trying hard. He's doing all he can. I think he had two hands on the ball. I'm not sure. Have to review the tape. You know what I mean? But anyways, next time let's send some extra pressure on the quarterback if it means that we win the game if we stop the play, especially with Kyler Murray. I'm still here. I kind of like that we're in the hole. I kind of like it. We have to fight back. The fake fans fall off, and it becomes a family. Let's go Raiders.
I always love your calls, bro, because they're always positive. And you got some good music, which is good. And, yeah, we got to have to fight back. Trust me, the bandwagon that was filling up before the season is now empty. I can tell you. Faux show. You keep doing your thing, man. Just keep getting it done. And let's hope that we get a turnaround. Our next caller is Raider Colin from Pleasanton, California. Let me get that straight this time. Sorry, brother. What you got for us?
Raider Greg, Raider Randy, what's happening, gentlemen? It's Raider Colin in Pleasanton, California, not Pomona. But yeah, man, I given a call after the heart-stopping game against the Cardinals, coached by Charles Dickens. It's the best of times and the worst of times. Man, so I'm originally from Arizona, Tucson. Arizona is my hometown. I'm actually going there this coming weekend to see my buddy who's getting married. So I'll be out there. He's a Raider fan. His brother is a Cardinal fan. They actually were at the game that last weekend, you know, at the game there. He said he had a blast, you know, football aside, but, you know, being up there and experiencing the stadium and the fans and, and I could feel it on TV in that first half. It was, you know, amazing. It was the best I'd seen, you know, for everything I was hoping for. I was like, great, we're doing it. This is it. Beautiful defense, beautiful offense. And then we curled up like a baby. I'm not sure. I mean, the offense, definitely, right? The defense, I felt like, did their end the best they could. They were on the field, you know, all half. So I can't put it on the defense. It's really the offense, to me, that where the blame goes. And you know, and coach, you know, again, like you were saying last week, Raider Greg got out coached in the second half. You know, beautiful coaching first half, beautiful game, beautiful execution. Then everything went to shit. So. On we go, guys. You know, the one stat that stuck out to me was the 0-2 teams rarely go to the playoffs. So playoffs, not happening, I don't think, this year for us, but so be it. You know, again, hopefully we have some good growth. Hopefully we can make some – I think we have a good team. I think we have a lot of potential. I could see it. You know, I saw it in that first half, right? So hopefully we can make some good things happen and enjoy some nice wins as the season goes on. Maybe not enough to get us to the promised land, but, you know, make some good progress. And that's all I'm hoping for now. So, all right, everybody. Raider Nation, love you all. Love the show. Thank you all for doing it. And we'll talk to you.
Gotta like their style of being chill and not being too emotional because, you know, we really, as a fan base, get very emotional. Expectations, like I said in the beginning of the show. Expectations were high, and what we got was less than really expected. We have a lot of games to go this year, so let's just see how we play and who we play and what happens, because this is a real testimony to the coach If he can change his ways, you know, good. Thank you for the call, man. I appreciate it very much. Anytime. But on this game and on this season, I think we all have to now take a deep breath and a deep step back and learn not to get emotional. Don't get so excited because even though, you know, our roster shows a lot of promise, but, you know, just like Frankenstein, the body has got to have a head and it can't have a messed up head. Because then it doesn't work, you know, or a big toe. You got to have a big toe. You don't have a big toe, you got no balance. I can go on other metaphors, but honestly, just don't get emotional. That's all I have to say. We'll see about what happens in Tennessee. And then on to the next one. I mean, Denver... Our schedule is unfolding before us, and our team is folding up before us, but who knows what'll happen. I can't predict, but I'm just going to sit here and watch it from afar and see what happens. So until this next contest in Tennessee, I am Raider Greg, hoping that we have a better game and a game plan on both sides of the ball, and I am... Out.